Blog Talk Radio.
Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on. It was Yahweh. He took me from the dark, put him in my heart. So Yahweh, got my mind Yahweh. Show me the times and the laws, the flaws of myself, Yahweh. Let me know to turn to him, only glory Yahweh. Never bragging anything unless it be Yahweh. He the most high, he my king, he my lawgiver, he my savior. And I'm only praising Yahweh. Told me that my name was Isha, that's man of Yahweh. All fire of Yahweh, whatever it be, you know I rep Yahweh. On my wrist, what does it say? It say praise Yahweh. Y'all can walk another way if you want to, but I'm walking this way. I'm a Israel crew, full life, ride with my homies that be with Yahweh. Only companions be praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on. Never mentioned by Yahweh. Nowhere in the holy scriptures do you see Yahweh. Mixing this text you call Yehoshua, Yahweh, Shai, Yahweh, whatever y'all calling him, it ain't Yahweh. Quran never spoke about the man Yahweh. I mean the name Yahweh, the Holy One Yahweh. Not a man that he shall lie, or the son of man that he shall repent. And y'all think he said somebody that could get killed? What you talking, Yahweh died? Man, come on, man. Thinking that Yahweh lied, man, you frontin' now. If you just open the scriptures, you'll see it right there in Isaiah 34 and 16. Yahweh only got one book, so let's look in it. Don't get too shook, minister, reverend, pastor, whoever you are, you spittin' disaster. If you ain't praising the Most High, who is Yahweh? What's good, Yahweh? What's poppin', Yahweh? What's up, Yahweh? What's crackin', Yahweh? On my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah. What's good, Yahweh? What's poppin', Yahweh? What's up, Yahweh? What's crackin', Yahweh? On my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on.
Trust in Yahweh Elohim. When he saves the remnant, it'll be like they dream. My friends just remind me to never go a horn. Yahweh's laws are my love, I'll ever adore them. I write them down on paper to get them in my heart. I meditate and recite the laws as I walk. The fear of Yahweh is the hate, evil, lies, and pride. The great one is the least law, so send that to despise.
Yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the creator of the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein by saying hallelujah. Again, I bring to you my love, beloved brothers and sisters, Yahweh's people, and others, the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. This is Moray Ishaya Ben Yisrael out of the House of Israel in Raleigh, North Carolina, bringing you nothing but the truth. Again, I want to thank you, all my listeners, for tuning in, all my brothers and sisters that's tuning in. And I want to mostly thank the Most High for allowing me to bring to you nothing but the truth. Again, we're going to deal with a very good topic, special topic, and it's going to be nothing but the truth. And that's all you're going to hear on my program is nothing but the truth. And if you find that I'm not speaking the truth, all you have to do is call me up and straighten me out, because that's all I'm looking for is the truth. That's all I'm seeking is the truth, and that's all I'm about is the truth. And so I won't run from the truth. I embrace it. Speaking of the truth, the Creator lets us know something in a book of Proverbs, the 9th chapter. And this is where we're going to start in our program, because the Creator has truly blessed me. He blessed me with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And he didn't bless me with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding because I was mightier than anyone, or because I was more righteous than anyone, or because I was wiser than anyone. He blessed me with this wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to bring glory to him. As a matter of fact, this is why Israel is made. We're made for the Most High glory. And so this is the only reason why the Creator gave me this knowledge. But with this knowledge comes great responsibility. And look what the book of Proverbs teaches us. Of course, a lot of people will tell you that this is Solomon's wisdom. Solomon wrote hundreds of Proverbs. And it is true. Solomon did write these Proverbs. But this is Yahweh's wisdom. Because who you think gave Solomon the wisdom to write these Proverbs? And look what this proverb states in Proverbs 9. And we're going to start reading that verse 8. And this is what it says. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. In other words, this is giving you instruction, giving you wisdom on how to deal with someone that is a scoffer, or in other words, is a hater, versus someone who is wise. You don't even waste your time correcting a scoffer, because all he's going to do is hate you. So you got to know the difference. But if you rebuke a wise man, he will love you. And there are some people that have to be corrected today, including myself. And this is one of the reasons why I occasion this particular subject today. Our subject today is on correction. And in correcting myself and correcting others, the scriptures let us know there's a time and a season for everything. And I found out if you don't know the time, if you don't know the season, then you're going to find yourself needing correcting. The Creator lets us know the reason why we find ourselves in this situation. Just have to be corrected all the time, is because the Most High let us know through his prophets in the book of Hosea, the 4th chapter. And we're going to read the book of Hosea, the 4th chapter, and we're going to read the 6th verse. a lot of people are familiar with this particular chapter, and they're very familiar with this verse. But what they're not familiar with is how it pertains to them. And today you're going to see how it pertains to them. Again, corrected, suffering, he hates you. In other words, correct somebody who don't love correction, he's going to hate you. But correct a wise man, he's going to love you. And look what the book of Hosea, the fourth chapter, say. It says in the sixth verse, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being a priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your Elohim, I also will forget your children. And it is the truth. Because, again, that's all you're going to hear on this program is nothing but the truth. And it is a truth that our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we're going to see today how much knowledge our people lack. Only if they knew, only if they considered, then they would understand. But our people don't consider. Our people don't know. And it's only because most of our people don't want to know. And most of our people don't want to be corrected. But tonight, we're going to correct a lot of people. Furthermore, not only did the Creator say our people was destroyed for lack of knowledge, he also lets us know in the book of Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, why are people in the situation that they're in? They're destroyed for lack of knowledge. But he also lets us know in the book of Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, starting at the very first verse. Hear the word which Yah speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus said Yah, do not learn the way of the heathen, and do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Customs of the peoples are vain. So we hear Yah say, look, don't follow these Gentiles, don't follow these heathen, don't follow these nations. And why? Because they have some funny ways about themselves when they look at the signs of heaven. And you don't want to learn the way they're doing this. And then in addition to that, don't learn their ways because their customs are vain. Their customs are meaningless. Their customs mean nothing. As a matter of fact, you're going to learn that many of their customs are totally backwards. But because our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, what knowledge do you think our people have embraced? They have embraced the backward knowledge, the heathenistic knowledge, the knowledge that the Creator himself told us not to follow. And then furthermore, show you one more thing right before we get right into the heart of this message, because many of us, all of us, really, need to be corrected. Look what the Creator let us know in the book of Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. And this is what the Creator said. So we're going to start reading at the 16th verse. Jeremiah 6, and 16. Thus said Yah, stand in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths. Everybody talking about something new. Yah said, ask for the old paths. Where the good way is and walk in it, then you will find rest for your soul. But they say, we will not walk in it. There's nothing new under the sun. In other words, our people are saying the same thing today as it was said in the days of old, that we're just not going to walk in the way of that old path. We're not going to do it. Even though the Creator himself said, stand in the ways and see. In other words, walk, do what they did. Look at your fathers and see what they did. And if you don't have a father, ask someone for the old path, where the good way is, and walk in it. You just can't ask. You got to be about doing. Our people are not asking for the old path. Our people are following new things. Does it seem to you? Does it seem to you, wise people, that today you can learn the old path, where the good way is, where the Almighty told us to stand and see, where the Creator said we will find rest for our souls? Do you honestly believe, does it seem conceivable, that you will learn that from your enemy, and they will be walking in a way that is cause rest for your soul? No. This is why Yah said don't follow that way. And have you asked for the old path? And the answer is still no. Because if you had, we would not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's amazing the things that I see and hear out of our people. Of course, apple of Yahweh's eye. Israel is his battle axe, his witnesses. Israel was made for his glory. Yahweh said he loved Israel so much that he carved them on the palms of his hands. He said, Israel is a world without end. And then I listened to a lot of these shows that Israel has, and Israel is talking like him, talking about people like a dog. And who are they talking about? They're talking about Israel. How can you be the shining examples and yet you are disobeying the Creator? Let me show you something. Go to the book of Proverbs, the 10th chapter. See, the Creator said in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, the verse 8, and I want you to, matter of fact, let's go to Ecclesiastes first before we even go to Proverbs, the 10th chapter, because I want you to see this with your own eyes. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter. Because as I stated before, we all need correction. And you correct the wise man and he will love you. Correct the fool, that's what it's called for, he is a fool, and he's going to hate you. And look what Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, say. This is the wisdom that Yahweh gave Solomon. And we're going to start reading at the 8th verse. And one of the last things Solomon said in this verse, talking about the time, it says, there's a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. I know people think you shouldn't hate, but there's a time to hate. There's a time to hate. And there's also a time to love. But do you realize when it comes to our people, Yahweh has already decided what you should do. And you got people going around slandering one another. This is totally against the Most High. Who will walk around calling their people punks? And who would walk around calling their people P-U-S-S-Y's? Who will walk around slandering their people? Is this wisdom? Is this the conduct we supposed to show the world? How to act, how to be, how to talk, how to walk? No, this is not the conduct that the Creator wants for our people. And let me show you. Now go to the book of Proverbs, the 10th chapter. Because why? Correct the wise man and he'll love you. Correct the fool and he will hate you. And Yahweh wants our people to show the world the wisdom and the understanding that he gave them. And the only way you're able to do that, Israel, is that you walk in the Creator's light. And his light is his laws. Look what he said in Proverbs 10. In the book of Proverbs 10, the 18th verse, look what it says. Ever has hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads a slander is a fool. Israel, we don't slander one another. And we don't allow others to slander us. We supposed to be the light of the world. And this is not how we treat one another. As a matter of fact, we got a law against this type of conduct, this type of speech, and this type of behavior. Let me show you what the law says. Because the only person who will slander his brother, another Israelite, is a fool. Look what the Creator said in the book of Leviticus 19. Because there's a time to love, and there's a time to hate. But Yahweh have already told us what to hate. And he already told us what to love. See, this is for people who really don't know. They just don't know there's a time and a season for everything. So they might hate the wrong thing, and then they'll love the wrong thing. But Israel, he already told you what to hate, and he already told you what to love. And look what he said in the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter, 17th verse. It says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of our people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yah. You're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. You're not supposed to hate your brother in your heart. And do you realize there's only one way to serve Yah? And that's with your heart. You've got to serve Yahweh with your heart. And if your heart is bad, you're going to serve Yah bad. But if your heart is good, you're going to serve Yah good. And today, I want you to learn how to serve Yah good. Because our people don't supposed to be about the slandering things that I've been hearing and I've been seeing. Let me show you. today our people are in an uproar. They're in an uproar because the nations have lifted up their head. They've really been lifted up their head. And our people are being blown away, not just by the police officers, but other people that truly hate them. My brother just playing loud music down in Florida. And a man just riddled a car with bullets and wasn't even charged with murder. Riddled the car with bullets. What? That's hatred. Man riding down the street and wouldn't roll down his window for the police. And we told the law says you got the right to remain silent. And he remained silent. And the police busted his window, tased him, arrested him, and charged him. That's what you call hate. Little boy just walking home during halftime. Going home with iced tea and Skittles. See somebody following him. He speeds up so he can get home quicker, go another way trying to get dodged, didn't know what was going on, and he wound up dead. This is what you call hatred. And this is not what our people are supposed to be about. But let me show you. Go to the book of Exodus 22, because correct a wise man, he will love you. And correct a fool, he will hate you. Our people don't realize Yahweh have already told them what to love. And he's already told them what to hate. And you're supposed to love one another. And this is what it states in the, says in the book of Exodus 22, because I want you to see the conduct you're supposed to have so you can correct these things. It says in the book of Exodus 22, and I'm going to read the 28th verse. And look what it says. And these are not my words, these are the Creator's words. And he said, you shall not revile Elohim, nor curse a ruler of your people. You don't curse the ruler of your people. You don't talk about the rulers of your people like a dog. You don't slander the ruler of your people. Where did you learn that from? I know you hear the President of the United States, Obama, being slandered all the time. This is not the conduct that we're supposed to adopt for our leaders. We can't treat our leaders the way they treat him. This is a total abomination to the Most High. Total abomination. As a matter of fact, let me show you the example, the shining example that we're supposed to be. It lets us know in the book of Exodus, again, Exodus the second chapter. And what we're talking about today, we're talking about correct the wise man and he will love you. Correct the fool and he will hate you. And our people need a lot of correction because our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Our people are following things that Yahweh said don't follow. And that is the ways of the heathen. Our people are supposed to stand in the way and see and ask for the old path, where the good way is, and walk therein, and it shall be rest for your soul. That's what our people are supposed to be about. And let me show you an example of how this looks in the book of Exodus, the second chapter. And look what it says in the 11th verse. It says, now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their birthday. That's what we see. We see our people burdened with all kind of stuff. Our people are oppressed. And the scriptures say oppression would even make a wise man mad. Even wise people want to take it to the street. Even wise people want to protest. Even wise people want to hold up signs. Even wise people want to boycott. They just know that this is of the Most High. And they know that there's no amount of marching, there's no amount of signs, there's no amount of protesting, there's no amount of voting that's going to stop this evil that is determined on our people. They know, but they mad about it. And here Moses was faced with the same exact thing that we're faced with today. Now when Moses was grown, he went out to his brother and looked at their burden, because Moses was in a situation where he didn't have the same burden. He was a little bit more well off than the average Israelite. And we got people a little well off, so they don't have all the various burdens that our people have. And so what do they do? Oftentimes they criticize our people. And all you got to do is look at the media, look on these media outlets. All day long they criticizing our people. They literally criticize the black man who left West Africa, even though he didn't have signs of Ebola. He was criticized. He was criticized so heavily that even the president of his country said she thought about bringing charges against him. For what? For traveling? For what? For trying to say. For what? What was his crime? As a matter of fact, when he left West Africa, do you know what he was doing? Was he committing a criminal act? No. Was he kidnapping little girls like they doing? No. He was helping those with Ebola. That's what he was doing. He was caring for patients. And they talking about charging this man. And, of course, they didn't have to charge him because the United States killed him. Now, why do I say they killed him? This man went to the hospital and they sent him away. And look what happened to Moses. Went out to his brother and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brothers. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. In other words, Moses loved his people so much, he defended them. He stuck up for them, even though his situation was not the same. But his heart was. In other words, every stroke that his brother felt, he felt that same stroke. Every burden his brother went through, he felt that burden. He felt it. Because this is the shining example that we're supposed to lead in loving our brother as we love ourselves. We're not supposed to slander one another. We're not supposed to talk about one another. We're not supposed to curse the ruler of our people. This is not the example that we're supposed to lead. And look what happened. Show you how our people destroyed for lack of knowledge. And show you there's nothing new under the sun. It says, and when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, why are you striking your companion? In other words, why are you fighting him? Why are you talking about him like a dog? Why are you hitting him? Why are you doing this? This is your brother. This is not how you treat your brother. This is what Moses was doing. He was letting his brother know you don't treat your brother like this. And this is how his brother responded. And that's why the scriptures say, correct the wise man, he will love you. But correct the fool, he will what? He will hate you. Then he said, who made a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? In other words, now Moses knew that everybody been talking about this. They've been talking about this thing. And this is how our people do today. Because our people have not learned to love one another as they love themselves. Yahweh already chose for us the things we're supposed to love. And he already chose for us the things that we're supposed to hate. And we have to go back to the drawing board. And we got to stand and see and ask for the old path and walk therein. Where in the good way is, this is what we got to do. Because our people have gone far out the way. Look, I was studying and we had a little controversy. And me and my beloved colleagues discussing the controversy. And the controversy was over how we're supposed to afflict ourselves. The creator told us to afflict ourselves on the Day of Atonement. And he said, if we don't afflict ourselves, or the soul that don't afflict itself shall be cut off. And so we began to search out how do we afflict ourselves. And it's only the examples are crystal clear how one is supposed to afflict yourself. But our people don't know this. Our people do just the opposite. Let me show you. Because in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, the 4th verse, it lets you know, if you turn back to Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, I want you to see, because we all need correction. And how can we be the shining example to the world, to the nation, if we're following their ways? You're not supposed to follow their ways. Their ways is against the laws of the Most High. And according to the book of Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, in the 4th verse, it says, it's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And our people don't know how to mourn. They don't know how to weep. They don't even know how to afflict themselves. And if you don't know how to mourn, weep, and afflict yourself, how could you possibly know how to honor the Most High? It is totally impossible to honor Yahweh if you don't know how to mourn. For then you will do something against Yahweh and become dishonorable instead of honorable. Let me show you. We had laws that we had to keep. And these laws are our wisdom and our understanding in the sight of the nation. Again, correct the wise man and he will love you. Correct the fool and he will hate you. Go to the book of Deuteronomy 21. I just want you to see this. want you to see with your own eyes. I want you to see how people afflicted themselves, how they mourned, and how they weep. And ask yourself, is this what you do? Is this how you've been behaving? In the book of Deuteronomy 21, and I'm going to start reading the 10th verse. It says, when you go out to war against your enemy, and Yahweh your Elohim delivered them into your hand, and you take them captive, and you see among the captives a beautiful woman, and desire her, and will take her for your wife, then you shall bring her home to your house. She shall shave her head and trim her nails. She shall put off the clothes of her captivity, remain in your house, and mourn her father and her mother for 4 months. After that, you may go into her and be her husband, and she shall be your wife. In other words, you just went in and you just destroyed this nation. You destroyed her mother and her father. You might have destroyed her brothers and her sisters. And you took her to be your wife because she had not known no man. And she was a beautiful woman. And you took her to be your wife. According to our laws, even though she wasn't even an Israelite, according to our laws, it says we're supposed to let her mourn her father and her mother a full moon. What did that mean? In other words, we didn't try to sleep with her before then. Look, you're my wife, and you got to please me. And I'm not because you need to come and let's get busy. No, we're supposed to let her mourn her mother and father a full month. Why? Because it's a time of mourning. You don't sing and dance during the time of mourning. I hear all the people talking about how they love Moray Elisha, my beloved teacher, the only teacher that I hear, raised up with, my mentor. And I apologize, he wasn't the only teacher that I had. He was the main teacher that I had. And then you couldn't even imagine how close me and him were all the way until his death. But you got people going around murmuring and saying all the time, they not following Elisha's teachings. They going against Elisha. They going against the prophet. Don't realize that if you loved him, there's a lot of things that wouldn't have been done. Do you realize this woman who was a captive, even during her mourning period, we weren't supposed to. Her husband wasn't singing and dancing, trying to sleep with her and doing all these things. Here I am suggesting to our people, look, let's mourn Moray Elisha 30 days. This is our brother. This is our teacher. This is our mentor. This is Yahweh's servant. And what did the people do? They did just the opposite. Why would we mourn a man? Why would we stop singing on the Sabbath day? Why would we stop dancing? This is what our people did. But yet, even though I was the one who called the mourning period, everybody else said they love it. Everybody else said he's their teacher, their mentor. Is this the ways of the Most High? Is this how we treat our rulers? No. Is this how we treat the dead? No. because there's a time and a season for everything. There's a time to mourn, and there's a time to dance. And our people got their times mixed up. And why? Because our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, according to Yahweh. Our people are following the vain customs of the heathen, according to Yahweh. And our people are not standing and singing and asking for the old path, wherein the good way is, and walking therein. They're not doing this. And as a consequence of not doing this, let me tell you what we do during the time of mourning. And I told you I want to correct myself. Because even though I mourn 30 days as I suggested others should do, and even though I not only fasted for Moray Elisha, but I fasted for the house of Israel. But do you realize the day that we buried Elisha, that very day we marched him to his resting place as soon as we were finished and we all walked back, you know what we did? We feasted. We ate. We drunk. We was merry. In other words, we did the opposite of what our people would do. We did the opposite of what Yahweh said we do during the time of mourning. Don't you know the scriptures say it's better to be in the house of mourning than the house of mirth and feasting? These are two opposite things. You don't feast during the time of mourn, and you don't mourn during the time of feast. And this is what we did. And I'm going to correct myself. And I know when that time was, so when that time comes again, I will fast for that day. Because, correct the wise man, he will love you. Correct the fool, and he will hate you. Look what our people was doing in the book of Genesis, the 37th chapter, just to show you this. Genesis, the 37th chapter. Again, this is Moray and Shaya. I appreciate everybody tuning in. We're listening to Nothing But the Truth. And that's all I'm going to tell you, is nothing but the truth. And this is what our people have to hear, because they've been hearing all kind of things. Genesis, the 37th chapter. Watch the 33rd and the 34th verse. It says, and this was when Joseph got missing. Jacob thought Joseph had died. But he didn't, but he thought he did. He thought he was killed. And he said in the 33rd verse, and he recognized it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. This is not what our people do today. Do you know when our people go to a funeral, the very first thing they do is dress up? They don't dress down. They don't tear their clothes. They put on new and better clothes. This is not how you mourn. And this is what we've learned from other people. He said he put on sackcloth on his waist and mourned for a son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I shall go down into my grave to my son in mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Yeah, that's what we do during the time of affliction and during the time of mourning. We don't dress up as our people do in the day, as I do to my own daddy's funeral. I dressed up because I thought that's what you're supposed to do. So when that time come around again, And for my dad, it's coming around next month. That day, I will not feast. I will fast. That day, I will not dress up. I will dress down. And I will show my dad the honor that is due to him. Because the ways of our people, which are the ways of the Most High. Go to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, the first chapter. The very first chapter. Of course, to make haste, this was a time where Brother rent is closed. Right, let me just read it to you. And we're going to start at the very first verse. And it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekite, and David had stayed 2 days in Ziklag. On the third day, behold, it happened that a man came from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and dust on his head. And why was his clothes torn? Because this is how our people mourn. This is how they afflicted themselves. We got people on the Day of Atonement, they dress up. They don't dress down. We got people going to funerals in their best. This is not how you mourn the dead. This is not how our people did it. And then it says, so to David that he fell to the ground and prostrated himself. And David said to him, where have you come from? And so he said to him, I have escaped from the camp of Israel. And David said to him, how did the matter go? And he answered, the people have fled from the battle. Many people are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. And I'm going to go down a little bit. And I'm going to start at the ninth verse. He said to me again, please stand over me and kill me, for anguish has come upon me, but my life still remains in me. In other words, he said Saul told him to kill him. So I stood over him and killed him. And the reason why this little young guy told David this, because he thought, surely, if I bring David back these wares, I will be honored. But look what David did. Because I was sure that he could not live after he had fallen. And I took the crown that was on his head and a bracelet that was on his arm, and I brought them here to my master. In other words, he was trying to receive honor. And look what David did. Therefore, David took hold of his own clothes and tore them. Why did David tear his clothes? Because during the time of mourning, you don't dress up, but down. And so all the men who were with him, they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan the son, for the people of Yah and for the house of Israel, because they have fallen by the sword. Then David said to the young man who told him, where are you from? And he answered, I am the son of an alien in the Amalekite, because he wanted to know who would do such a thing. Where you from, man? You couldn't be from Israel, because Israel know better. So David said to him, how was it you were not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy Yah's anointed? Then David called one of the young men and said, go near and execute him. And he struck him side. So David said to him, your blood is on your own head, for your own mouth has testified against you, saying, I've killed Yah's anointed. This is terrible what this young guy did. Terrible. And don't you know we got people who do that today? You got people during the time of mourning, and they at somebody's funeral, and you will see them start breaking out fighting. And you know what they're fighting over? They're not fighting over the dead. They're fighting over the dead possessions. And this is what happened to Elisha. The night he died, there were people looking, searching, and already coveting his possessions. Already inquiring about his possessions. Things that didn't belong to them anyway. This is not how we mourn the dead, but yet we got people going around saying they love the prophet. You got people on the day that we was burying him in the audience, leaders, talking about him like a dog, while others sit around listening to this. But yet they say we love the prophet. Is this how you mourn the dead? The scripture says, touch not my what? Anointed and do my prophets no harm. We even got somebody who took back their wares that they even presented to Moray Elisha, took it back on his deathbed from him, and he's dead, and honor somebody else with it. How are you going to do that? It don't even belong to you no more anyway. You gave it to him. How did it now become back yours? And how could you honor somebody with something that you honored another man with? Is this how we honor the dead? No, this is the destruction of lack of knowledge. This is following the ways of heathen. This is not asking for the old past. This is what our people are doing as we speak. And this is the last scripture I'm going to go to before I go to my beautiful brothers and sisters that's listening to this presentation. Again, the scriptures not only tell us it's time to mourn, it's time to dance, it's a time to weep, it's a time to laugh, but it also tells us it's a time to be born, and it's a time to die. As I was stating before, just walking down the street and you black and you got on a hoodie and you got Skittles and a iced tea, that don't mean it's a time to die. Just because you listening to loud music in a car, that's not a time to die. Just because you don't roll down your window, just because you're walking down the street, in the middle of the street, and you throw your hands up and surrender, that don't mean it's a time to die. And here you have many of our beloved sisters today, and it is terrible. It is real terrible. Just because you get pregnant, that don't mean it's a time to kill. It said it's a time to die. It's a time to be born. And it's a time to kill. But that's not the time to kill just because you got pregnant. Just because you didn't use protection. Just because you don't want the baby. And we got leaders who are in gross darkness justifying the murders and the killing of the unborn babies. And look, there's nothing new under the sun. And as I stated, this is the last scripture I'll go to before I go to my brothers and sisters in the book of Exodus, the first chapter. And I'm going to start at the 15th verse. It says, and the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah, And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and feed them on their birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it's a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwife feared Elohim and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but save the male children alive. You don't have to do this thing just because you're seeing other people doing it. You don't have to talk this way because other people are talking this way. You don't have to act this way because other people are acting this way. If you want to know how to act, if you want to know how to dance, if you want to know how to mourn, if you want to know how to sing, if you want to know how to rap, if you want to know how to love, if you want to know how to hate, stand and see and ask for the old path, wherein the good way is, and walk therein, for this will be rest for your soul. Hallelujah. Well, let me go to my brothers and sisters that's listening in, and if you have any questions, you have any comments, all you have to do is hit the number one on your phone, and I will go right to you. And I think we have somebody who have a comment or a question. Shalom, shalom. Can you hear me? Let's try it again. Can you hear me now? All right, give me a second. We're going to try to get this together. Okay, we're going to try to get the callers up. Until we do, let me show you another scripture. Can you hear me now, caller? Hello? You on the line?
Oh, what? We didn't shake the... Shaking small.
All right, you can mute that caller back. I guess they didn't want to make a comment. But let me show you another scripture in the book of Exodus, the second chapter. Again, if you have a comment or a question, all you have to do is hit the number one. In the book of Exodus, the second chapter, I'm going to start at verse 1. And this is what it says. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt, and put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what will be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. In other words, this was a mother who knew that Pharaoh had determined evil upon the Hebrews. And as a consequence, she didn't kill her baby. She didn't allow her baby to be killed. She hid her baby. And then after she couldn't hide him no more, she put the baby in Yahweh's hands. And this baby was Moses. For there's a time to kill and there's a time to make alive. And Yahweh already told us who to kill, what to kill, why to kill, how to kill. We don't have to follow nobody else. All we have to follow is the Most High. All right, and we got another caller who want to make a comment. If you can go to the caller, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. How you doing, my brother?
My beloved brother, how are you? Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah. The lesson is beautiful. I love it. I love correction.
Praise
I love how you shared the words of the Almighty and His truth and His words to our people. They need to hear it. I pray that they accept it and don't reject it. The Almighty said, if you reject my words, I will reject you. And it was so beautiful. It was very thought out, very thorough, and straight to the point.
That's it. The Almighty said, there's a time and a season for everything. And we have learned so much from our enemies. And we're not asking for the old past. And we're not searching the old past wherein the good way is. We're not doing that. And as a consequence, since we're not doing that, we're mourning like other people mourn. We're acting like other people act when they afflict themselves. You're not afflicting yourself and you eating and drinking. You're not afflicting yourself and you dressing up and you anointing yourself, putting on your jewelry and rings and things like that. Let me show you what Yahweh said He would do when He bring about affliction. As a matter of fact, now let me show you another shining example in the book of 2 Samuel, the third chapter. 2 Samuel, the third chapter. And I want you to see this. In the book of 2 Samuel, we're going to start at the 26th verse. And when Joab, we're in 2 Samuel, the third chapter, the 26th verse, and when Joab had gone from David's presence, he sent messengers after Abner, who brought him back from the well of Sirah. But David did not know it. Now when Abner had returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him privately, and there stabbed him in the stomach, so that he died, for the blood of Asahel, his brother. Afterwards, when David heard it, he said, my kingdom and I are guiltless before Yah forever of the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his house, father's house. And let there never fail to be in the house of Joab one who has a discharge or is a leper. And if you got a discharge or you are a leper, you can't even come serve Yahweh because you're unclean. You can't even come in this house. And then it says, who leans on a staff or who lacks bread. In other words, just all kind of chaos in this man's house. And why? Because what he did, this was grievous. This is not how you treat one another. We got laws. And it says, so Joab and Abishai, his brother, killed Abner because he had killed their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. Then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, tear your clothes, go sackcloth, and mourn for Abner. He made them mourn. That's how people mourn? No. Our people get dressed up. They don't tear their clothes. These weren't bad clothes. These weren't old clothes they were tearing. These were new clothes they were tearing. Who tore their clothes for Moray Elisha? Who did that? But this is how our people did. And look what else happened. And King David followed the coffin. In other words, during the burial, he followed the coffin as we did Elisha. So they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner. And all the people wept. And the king sang and lamented over Abner and said, should Abner die, the fool die? Your hands were not bound, your feet put in suffering. As a man falls before the wicked man, so you fail. This is not the way to kill nobody. Then all the people wept over him again. And when all the people came to persuade David to eat food, while it was day, David took an oath, saying, Elohim do so to me and more also if I taste bread or anything else till the sun goes down. Is this how we mourn, Elisha? Is this what we did? Or did we just march back and eat? Have you considered this? Did you notice? What have we been doing? Have we been asking for the old way, when the good way is? Because this is how our people mourn. We don't slander one another, calling each other punks and P-U-S-S-Y. Only a fool slanders his people. We're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. We don't supposed to be out in the streets killing one another. We don't supposed to kill just because we got pregnant. Pregnancy is not an offense worthy of death. Why are we doing these things? Is it because we are destroyed for lack of knowledge? Is it not because we're following the ways of the heathens? Is it not because we have not asked for the old path wherein the good way is? The scripture said, correct a wise man and he will love you. Correct the fool, and he will hate you. We have someone else who have a question or a comment. Let us go to them. Shalom, shalom.
Praise the mighty Yahweh. Shalom. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Shalom, my beloved brother. I didn't even get to honor my fellow colleague, Moray. Yehoshua ben Yisrael out of Jacksonville, Florida. Now I got Moray Isha out of Cincinnati, Ohio. Shalom, shalom, my beloved brother.
Praise the Most High, shalom. And I just wanted to comment on your program. It's a beautiful show. And I was one of the brothers present during Moray Elisha's funeral. And doing the exact same thing that you're speaking of that we did. And it's a beautiful lesson to hear what was done incorrectly, so we know for the future how to correctly mourn our people. So I really enjoy your program. It's very good. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, I appreciate the words, and these are words of the Most High Yah. And I just got to tell the people nothing but the truth, because this is what my program is all about. And that's all I'm going to tell you is nothing but the truth. And we made mistakes, and we got to correct the mistakes that I made. I wish I'd have known this and considered this at that time. I wish I would have known this and considered this when my father died. Because
right.
I would have honored him. But it's not too late. It's not too late. Yah said, if you seek me, you shall find me. And that's exactly what I'll do. Well, I love you, brother. I appreciate you supporting the program. And may Yah continue to bless you and keep you. Hallelujah.
Yah bless you also. Hallelujah. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. And I think we got another call.